Gavin McGrath on ABC Ballarat and ABC Southwest Victoria.
Gee, what a morning already. Good morning. Thank you for your company. We've made it to morning tea time and some serious stuff involving your safety. More on that in a second. What is the worst design intersection from a safety point of view in Southwest Victoria? What do I want to know? Because you are about to hear from someone who may be in a position to do something about it. Now, this has come through from Tony in Dalesford. There's a really bad pothole in the Coles car park in, it says here, Failsford. Let's just say Dalesford. Can your road designer get it fixed? I'm not sure if we can do that, but we can certainly come up with some better designs to make sure that you are safe, particularly, I guess, at some of those crossroad type intersections. But what is the most unsafe near you? The SMS number is 0467 842 722. It is 7 minutes past 10 on ABC Ballarat and ABC South West Victoria. And I know we've banged on about how unsafe the roads are in the southwest of the state. Well, today you will hear from someone who could make a difference. Tia Gaffney is the road safety lead from the Australian Road Research Board, but she's also a former crash investigator, which I guess would put a different slant on it. And Tia has joined me this morning. Let me see how we go with that. It looks like we're in it. She's dropped off there. We'll see if we can pick her up in a second.
Bring out your gardener. Prepare for war. And brock in your Tuesday nights for a November sporting special. Get to know the real Peter Brock, Steve Waugh, and Wayne Gardner, and meet the inspirational team of sporting heroes who took on the Brits way back in 1868. For these guys, sport was just the beginning. Tuesday night Trailblazers in November. Available now on iView.
And it is 8 minutes past 10, and we are going to be speaking with Tia Gaffney. As I said, the road safety lead from the Australian Road Research Board. Good morning, Tia.
Good morning, Gavin. Thanks for having me.
And a little bit more luck with the phone now, dropping out just before. Before we get to your current role, which we are going to be talking about, that is being the road safety lead at the ARRB, I wanted to ask you about your previous role as a crash investigator. What was that like?
Yeah, it's been a very interesting journey. I started when I was quite young, just sort of in school, and I went and worked for General Motors in America, and I've really done it since then. I've been all over the place in America, and I've been here in Australia since 2011. So I've really traveled almost every country road that I can think of, through Victoria, Tasmania, New South Wales. I've pretty much seen it all when it comes to crashes and where they're occurring, and looking at really sort of the granular details of those crashes and what's going on that is sort of a systematic problem.
So you would have seen some pretty horrific things in your previous role.
I have, and I'm sort of noticing of late that horrific experience does sort of follow me. It is definitely a part of me now, and it really is something that drives everything that I do from this point forward.
So you're now at the Australian Road Research Board, and that's moving into that position there. Perhaps if to set it up, what is the Australian Road Research Board? What do you do?
Yeah, so ARB, the Australian Road Research Board, has been around for about 60 years now, so we're celebrating our 60th anniversary this year. We are a not-for-profit, and we're owned technically by the road agencies, so the federal and state road agency. And we were set up to essentially do applied research. So they needed an organization to, I guess, carry out the research that was needed to provide the evidence base for the work was going to be done moving forward. So that's the work that ARB does, and we have a very broad range of what we do, all the way from, you know, roads and assets. So that's really the you know, materials that the road is constructed of. We're looking at things like how to use recycled materials in the road and how we can sort of create a more sustainable road system and road network, all the way to, you know, future transport technology, looking at autonomous vehicles and all sorts of, so really quite a wide range. And obviously I work in the transport safety area, so I am the lead in Victoria. And we have a real national presence. So we have a representation in almost every Australian state and territory. And that enables us to sort of see what's going on from jurisdiction to jurisdiction.
Sure. So that explains your background. So in terms of actually going to speak to people about how to get these improvements, you add that to your history you with regard to being a crash investigator. There's a fair bit of strength there. The SMS number is 0467 842 722. And I asked this before about some of those locations, the worst, the most unsafe intersections in southwest Victoria. And a few have already come through, Tia. Phil from Creswick says, Gillies Road from Bald Hills Road, Creswick to Wenderee is terrible. So there's an example. Another one's come through. The worst intersection is the highway crossroad at the start of the Cape Otway Road and Princess Highway. Trucks and cars glide through the stop signs time and time again. It should be a roundabout. So, Tia, I wanted to ask, the southwest of the state in particular, how much does that show up on your radar?
Yeah, so it does show up, and clearly if you look at, you know, a map of crashes, you can see that there is a large representation of fatal and serious injury crashes in particular in, you know, Roanoke regional areas. So we know, you're almost sort of 1.5 to 2 times more likely to be fatally injured in a local government area as compared to like a state road. So it's definitely a higher risk location, and that's, you know, there's also an issue with funding that is available to those areas to spend on road safety. So they have to be really selective about what types of treatments they're going to install and whether or not, you know, they have a plan to put those in, and whether or not they're going to be able to have funding to do that in the future.
Now, there's been four more come through, and you know what I'm going to do, Tia? I'm going to actually collect some of these and send them in your direction, because it probably wouldn't hurt for you to know some of these locations. One of them that's just come through, the Western Highway A8. Long grass is hazarded for merging vehicles on the highway. Mm-hmm. And we've also had a call come through from Gordon in Ballarat. Good morning, Gordon.
Yep.
Good morning, Gordon.
Good morning, Gav.
Now, there were a couple that you wanted to mention.
Yeah, now, I'm not quite sure what the name of the highway is, but the one going into Colac, right, where the end of the one from Ballarat ends up in Colac, they put a big roundabout there. I reckon they could have done that with flyovers, and there would have been no interruption to the flow of traffic. Mm-hmm. If they could have done it with flyovers, every which way. The other one is in Creswick Road, where they put the roundabout on the north side of the overpass. It doesn't make much difference to the view of the overpass, and the grass is that high now you can't see a vehicle coming, because I came around it the other night. Mm-hmm. And then the one at Hertford and Midland Highway, ongoing for 2 years, still a roundabout, no lights yet.
Gordon, thank you so much for your call. And there are three examples, and apparently there are quite a few examples. I'll get to your text messages on 0467 842 722. Tia, federal roads, state roads, council roads, from your organisation's point of view, where is the main focus? Where's the main concern?
Yeah, so it traditionally has probably been on state roads primarily. And I think that focus is definitely shifting. If you have been listening to any of the, I guess, road safety discussions this year, there is, particularly from the federal government, an extreme emphasis on the need for road safety in local government areas and on local government roads. And just an announcement by the federal government that $2 billion will be spent on infrastructure, and particularly emphasizing the need for that in local government. So I think it's been addressed and is currently going to be initiated, and will be a nationally initiated and a rollout of that happening.
You mentioned councils before, and a lot of those council roads are the ones that don't get as much money spent on them. Generally speaking, the councils in the southwest of Victoria, are they part of the problem or part of the solution you're finding?
I always think they're part of the solution. I would never say that someone's part of the problem. I always think that the intent is there. It maybe is that there is a lack of resources or a lack of capacity, possibly, or a lack of funding. But certainly, I think, you know, there's always the intent. The issue is that we have a black spot program where typically funding comes for a single location, possibly, and that might be a very good reason to spend money on, but it might not do a lot for the network at large. And so, you know, we need to start to rethink how we do this, installation of sort of mass treatment options in these areas where we can get a lot more bang for our buck if we actually spread, you know, that expenditure on over a wider corridor rather than just at one particular spot.
You've mentioned quite a few things that go towards making safer roads. You mentioned, for example, surface. You've also mentioned design of intersections. Is there an area in particular that you'd really like to speak to councils about to really make the most roads safe? You mentioned the phrase bang for your buck.
Yeah. So there, most local governments will agree that the problems they have are typically on your higher speed undivided roads. So, you know, high speed roads, we don't have any sort of barrier separating. So we have a lot of sort of runoff road crashes happening at those locations, the very severe crashes into trees or objects. And then we've got, obviously, head-on crashes. So, you know, when you don't have a lot of money to spend, a good option is to, and this is not always a popular option, is to consider whether or not there's a community acceptance of lowering the speed limit, possibly.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people at first are very resistant to that as an option. However, when you start to look at it, you know, a lot of roads, for example, it might affect your travel time by, say, a minute by substantially reducing the speed limit. So that is always something that should be thought about because it is very low cost to do that. And then when we talk about intersections, there was a discussion about roundabouts. Roundabouts are, in terms of crash reduction, a very good option because what they do is they change the impact angle. So we go from a very severe 90-degree impact to something that's at more of a shallow angle, and that results in a lot less fatalities and serious injuries at those intersections. So that's really why roundabouts are quite a good solution from a road safety point of view.
When the Australian Road Research Board, and that's quite wordy, let's call it the ARRB for the time being, got in touch with me, they also mentioned a safer road infrastructure guide. Perhaps if you can tell us a little bit about that, because I think that this is something that is intended for, amongst others, councils, to actually at least be aware of what's going on with regard to making safer roads.
Yeah, so we've just initiated an outreach with local government, and just last week we had an outreach forum where we spoke to over 100 councils all throughout Australia and representation from every state. And it really was highlighted that local government needs access to some more simple tools and guidelines. So, you know, looking at what kind of tools we can give them that will enable them to do their job easier. Also looking at ways that they can get some road safety outcomes from pools of funding that are not necessarily road safety. So how can they take their asset management and enable road safety outcomes to occur? So if, for example, I know that I have to reseal a road in 3 years' time, how can I reseal that road in a way that is in enabling a safer outcome without costing a significantly greater amount of money? So that's what will be in the guide. It will really be talking about, again, that bang for buck. So how can we, you know, optimize the spending in order to get these safety outcomes without the need for, you know, looking for pools of money all the time. So
I am speaking with Tia Gaffney, the road safety lead for ARRB, the Australian Road Research Board, but also a former crash investigator. So I guess that gives you, it makes it personal for you. Now, there's quite a few text messages have come through. I'll get to some of them in a second. But Gail asked this question. It is a question for without notice, Tia, so I hope you can help.
Yeah.
Why are safety barriers? Have they changed the stats? Are they part of your strategy?
Safety barriers absolutely do result in reductions in fatal and serious injuries. Now, there's plenty of examples of where safety barriers have been installed, possibly at locations where they aren't, necessarily wonderful for things like heavy truck drivers, motorcyclists as well. So there needs to be careful selection of where those go. From an engineering point of view, we know that in a crash, we need to ride down that crash energy, and that's absolutely what those barriers do. They function in a way like a seatbelt does for an occupant. So they work, certainly, mm-hmm. and the effects of those are well established. However, just like anything else, I mean, you do need to look at this holistically and consider what you're trading for that. I mean, again, if you are preventing a vehicle from getting off the road, or if you have to reduce the shoulder width in order to put that barrier in, all those things come under this holistic sort of consideration that needs to be done in every case.
Joanne from Ballarat has sent me through a text message. Most accidents and incidents occur due to driver inattention, speed and distraction, such as mobile phone use and not giving way. We will never have foolproof roads. Joanne, fair point, but I suspect that if you design the roads a certain way, you might get less damage when those other things actually cause accidents. Am I right with that, Tia?
Yeah, so, I mean, engineering, this is really the challenge of engineering, is that interface between the machine and the human. And you know, if we think about anything that we design as engineers, we have to always consider that there might be a mistake made. So whether you were designing an oven or a chair or anything, it really is about acknowledging to some extent that, yes, we're not going to get perfect performance all the time. And it's about trying to work out ways that we can reduce the risk that these things are going to occur in the first place. So that goes to things like, you know, installing line marking on a road, and then you have a relatively new vehicle with line marking detection technology, and you start to have a way where you are going to reduce the risk that vehicle is going to run off the road, even if you've got a driver that is maybe not doing the right thing at the right time. So that's really what it is when we talk about this holistic, systematic response. And it is trying to sort of chip away at that as much as we can, again, without spending $1 billion every day. So it's a balance, but I do think there are ways that we can chip away from that. And there's also the mitigation side. So that's where the things like barriers and things come in. And that's just about reducing the severity when a crash does happen.
And Max has reiterated that point, that there is no such thing as dangerous roads, just bad drivers. But of course, you might have bad drivers anyway. If you make those roads safer, then the bad drivers and the other ones that are on the road may well go from having an accident that damages a car to an accident that damages them. I'll just read through a couple more text messages to paint a picture. Outside the McKellar Centre in Geelong, as you leave the facility, fast traffic, no control or support, turning right, often elderly drivers visiting family and friends. That was from Gail in Geelong. She also asked the question about wire barriers before. Catherine, really hope the Melbourne people who haven't been able to drive more than 25 kilometres for ages will take extra care on our roads when the ring of steel comes down. Yes, that's something we certainly hope for. Now, I'm noticing another one here has come through from GM in the People Mover, who's one of our regulars. Bad intersection in Portland, corner of Ring Road and Madeira Packet Road. It is a sharp bend with large trucks going either direction and a right-hand turning stuck in between them. Very scary during peak school times. He also says, go Tigers. I wonder why. Thank you for all those text messages. Look, if someone is listening to this, I haven't been able to read out their text or they aren't in a position where they can text, for example, they might be driving. What should they do if they know of a particularly bad intersection? What would you advise them if they've come up to a road or an intersection and gone, actually, this is quite dangerous? What's your advice to them, Tia?
Yep, so they can absolutely report it to the council area if it is on the local road, and they can request that a response be given to them. So what sort of action is being taken? And if it's state roads, so if it's a if it's owned by Vic Roads, for example, the same applies, where you can report it and you can actually make a request that you know what has been taken, what response. If you're not getting any I guess, progress in that area, you can always email us at the Australian Road Research Board, and we're happy to take these inquiries and escalate them on your behalf. That, and then, obviously, you always have the option to, you know, contact your council members and the like. But the reality is, it's very difficult to get, and I do this weekly, where I am constantly reporting, you know, things that I see. There's a barrier, you know, missing here. In some cases, it might take 6 months for that barrier to be replaced. So it does, you know, there is always that balance between what's being suggested and what funding, again, is available to remedy what's there.
Tia, we've only really scratched the surface, and we're going to have to move on to other things. I might get in touch, and we might see how you go with some of them, getting in touch with some of these councils. In the meantime, I'll collect a few of these intersections that have been sent through on 0467 842 722 and forward them to you, if you don't mind.
Absolutely love to have a look.
And we'll speak down the track for sure. Tia, thank you so much for speaking with me this morning.
Thanks a lot, Gavin.
Tia Gaffney there from the Australian Road Research Board.